my inadequacy to sit here and speak to all of you here. I feel myself very insignificant amongst all of you learned devotees, engaged nicely in devotional service. However, I'll try to speak something through the instructions of the authorities that I present this morning Bhagavatam class. We are reading from the 10th canto, 20th chapter, the rainy season in autumn, text number 11. Harita harabe saspaye Inda gopaischa lohita Uchilendriya kritachaya Ninam shrir eva bhur abhut Harita haribhi saspaye Indra gopaischa lohita Uchilendri Uchilendra kritachaya Nirnam shir eva bhurabhut Harita haribhi saspayam Indra gopaischa lohita Uchilendriya kritakchaya Nirnam shreva bhurabhut Mothers. Haritaha, greenish. Haribihi, which is green. Saspai, because of the newly grown grass. Indragopai, because of the Indragopa insects. Cha, and Lohita, reddish. Uchilendra, by the mushrooms. Krita, afforded. Chaya, shelter. Nirnam, of men. Shri, the opulence. Eva, just as. Bhu, the earth. Abhut, became. Translation. The newly grown grass made the earth emerald green. The Indragopa insects added a reddish hue, and the white mushrooms added further color and circles of shade. Thus the earth appeared like a person who has suddenly become rich. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the word Nirnam indicates men of the royal order. Thus the colorful display of dark green fields decorated with bright red insects and white mushroom umbrellas can be compared to a royal parade displaying the military strength of a king. Om Gyan Atimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayati Girim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatardanam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvaseisa Sanyavari Pastachyati Satarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter is describing the rainy and autumn season. And just to recap, Sukhdeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit during his dying days. Maharaj Parikshit being cursed to die in 7 days, and Sukhdeva Goswami is enlightening him on the devotional service of the Supreme, how by hearing about the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Lord, he can attain perfection after giving up his body. And here in this chapter, he is describing about the the autumn, the rainy season. And we may want to question, why, what's the relevance of such description of a person about to die? So first of all, we have to understand that Maharaj Parikshit, he was not an ordinary person. He was a Rajarshi, saintly king. He was of some knowledge of his relationship with the Supreme. And Sukadeva Goswami, pure devotee of the Lord, he is expressing things in a way that is related to the Supreme Lord. The pure devotees of the Lord, he sees everything from a Krishna conscious perspective. Whatever the circumstances, situations, he relate everything to the Supreme. So he's speaking of this rainy and autumn season in a very graphic way, just as we are experiencing it in our times. Torrential rain with lightning and thunder and blue clouds moving here and there, and the luminaries, especially in the night, obscured, or during the day, the sunshine, it's not so prevalent. Uh, And he is trying to present it in, from a metaphorical point of view as well. We can understand everything that we may describe, everything that we may see, as having some relevance to this human life. It's important. Of course, previously he had described comparing the rainy season with its cloud as the spirit soul covered by the modes of material nature. Then in the night we see how the glowworms, in the absence of the moonshine, takes precedence or becomes prevalent, becomes prominent. Likewise, in human society, you know, people are lost in knowledge and understanding of themselves. They're completely covered over by the illusory energy. Prabhupada explains that spiritual life or devotion service begins by overcoming the modes of material nature, specifically passion and ignorance. So generally, the mass of people in this world, they're under the modes of passion and ignorance. And even though they may proclaim to be some scholars or scientists, some educated person, still they are an illusion. They are simply missing the importance of this human form of life. And Sukadeva Goswami, he is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit in a way that he can relate to the many things he's speaking to him. And likewise, we also, aspiring on this path, we can try to understand everything from a Krishna conscious perspective. As soon as we lose sight of our actual goal, then our life becomes meaningless. There is no meaning to this life, no matter whatever status we may have in society. So the setting of Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit is very enlivening and enlightening. And it's to bring us also in focus of our own lives. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit is from the royal order. He had all opulences. He was very much liked by his citizens, by his subjects. He was ruling in a very astute manner. But somehow or the other, a situation was created. And at a spur of the moment, he lost his saintliness and fall victim to his dictates of his senses. Of course, setting the example and portraying our own situation. And being thirsty, he, and not being reciprocated appropriately by Samyaka Rishi, he decided to put a dead snake around his neck. What kind of a sadhu are you? You don't acknowledge my presence. You should be, you know, be embarrassed for this. And he heard this, and at that time the Brahmins had power, tejas, whatever they pronounce, takes effect. And so that's how Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. But again, being revived of his actual consciousness, was able to appreciate, and the devotees of the Lord, they appreciate every details of the Supreme. And they want to hear more and more and more and more. They are never saturated of hearing the glories of the Supreme. So Maharaj Parikshit very much set himself in that mood as a recipient of the absolute truth coming from Sukhdev Goswami. And so Sukhdev Goswami is relating so many wonderful events and pastimes of the Lord, one after the other. And nothing is spared describing whatever is related to the Supreme. And of course, everything should be seen as related to the Supreme. And Maharaj Parikshit was very much observed, very much heartened, very much satisfied to hear even the descriptions of the autumn and the rainy season. Of course, these early verses describes the rainy season and will be followed by the autumn, which makes it much more accessible for everyone. And during the rainy season, everyone is caught indoor, confined, can't do anything too much. But still, Sukhdev Goswami is able to express it in such a way, even in the descriptions of the rain, in such a way that we can learn so many things. And certainly, Maharaj Parikshit was not sparing the details. So the point in contention is that as devotees of the Lord, we must learn to see things from a Krishna conscious perspective. We must be able to see things through the eyes of the scriptures, through the eyes of the pure devotees of the Lord. We need to accept information coming down in parampara, in disciplic succession. In this way, we can be guaranteed that we'll be properly enlightened, we'll be in proper knowledge, and we can engage ourselves fulfilling the real purpose of this human form of life. We have to learn to see all the many things that happens in our life as the mercy of the Supreme. Of course, in our conditional state of existence, we may be deliberating, we may be procrastinating, we may be in doubts, thinking, what is this? What is happening in my life? Sometimes things doesn't happen too well. So many problems with our health. Sometimes people criticize us in a way that we feel is unjustifiable. You know, there may be so many different types of adversities we face. How we deal with them is important. How we see them is important. It means we have to develop, cultivate some form of proper knowledge that we can understand these things in a proper perspective. And so we say, in the case of Anga Maharaj, he employed the brahmanas to perform some sacrifices. To please the devatas, the demigods, so that he can have some good result. More importantly, he was aging in the hope that he could have a son that could take over the kingdom. It's an aspiration of all kings, that there is a successor. But Everything was done very nicely. All the mantras, Vedic hymns were pronounced very nicely. All the details of it was done. But then Ang Maharaj was informed by the Brahmana that, you know, the devotees are not pleased. They're not satisfied. He wanted to know why. Every mantra, everything is done nicely. Of course, we would have learned that we cannot perform the devata sacrifice or puja in this age of Kali Yuga because there is no qualified person to perform these yajnas with the precision that is required, proper pronunciations of the Vedic hymns and mantras, and it has to be done in a certain meter. But here it's all done nicely. But still, Ang Maharaj was informed that the devotees were not pleased. And after his submissive inquiry and humility, this also is a disposition we have to have in order to be enlightened properly. Anytime we take up a stand in our life, and that's very easily to acquire, false ego manifests, a false pride manifests, we may think ourselves in a certain status in society. It's not hard for that to happen, especially as a person's Marajanga, but obviously his whole life was devoted in trying to please the Supreme Lord. So he was enlightened by the Brahmanas that you have to invite Lord Vishnu, because any sacrifice performed without the presence of Vishnu is unsuccessful. So he was able to follow, he was able to please the Lord, and the Lord manifest and provide the result of the sacrifice that was offered to him in a pot. And he took some of that and gave to his wife Sunita, and with the hopes that a boy child, will born, will be the successor. But again, he was advised by the Brahmins that the fact that he has given this sacrifice to Sunita, daughter of death personified, spells some sort of inauspiciousness. But he was not so much in tune with that for now, and they keep it on low profile, because of course he was in a jubilant manner and they don't want to unnecessarily provoke him, disturb his mind. So the son was born, and that son was Vena. And from very birth he was very mischievous. He was killing boys of his age. He was killing animals. He found pleasure in doing it. But just imagine Maharaj Anga, such a religiously minded person, spiritually oriented person, doing everything he best can and producing a rascal son. Whereas we see in the case of the demon Hiranyakashipu producing Prahlad Maharaj, a divine son. How these things happen may be mysterious. But as devotees, we have to learn to accept whatever happenings in life may seem adverse, we accept. There may be something good may be coming out. We have to be patient. So as King Vena grew up, his pride increased, his false ego increased, and Maharaj Anga, he was in agony, he was in distress, but he thought to himself that perhaps if I had a better son, I would have been much attached. So maybe Lord's arrangement. So with all of that, what was taking place and the behavior of his son, he decided to renounce. These things happen, you know. We are forced to give up something when the, you know, in a prevailing circumstance. Circumstance is not very helpful to us, not very satisfying. The nature of giving up is there, detach. He left. He left his kingdom, just like Maharaj Parikshit left, renounced everything, and went to prepare himself for perfection. So, whenever society is left with no person to rule, it creates a situation of dacoits and thieves becoming prominent. And that's what happened when King Angad leave. Of course, he didn't leave his body, but he leaves the kingdom. No one could find him anywhere. And so the Brahmins, they had to make a decision, even though they were humiliated so much by King Vena, who is now going to be the king. And after some deliberation, they decided to put him on the throne. Of course, many people scared him, and they felt that also he would be able to deal with all the dacoits and everyone. So, his demoniac tendency continues, becomes more, he became more infatuated. Especially putting a demoniac person in power, their demoniac, you know, power becomes more inflated. And especially the fact that he was so offensive in so many ways. And Brahmins, they tolerate, but a point came that they couldn't. It was becoming overwhelming for them to see the behavior of King Vena. Although he was able to keep the dacoits and the thieves and the miscreants under some sort of care and control, but still he was not behaving proper towards them. Because the Kshatriyas, they have to give respect to the Brahmins. The kings, they have to show respect to the Brahmins, the head of society. And so a point came that they cursed him to die. Of course, saintly persons, they are very tolerant. You know, they can tolerate you to a certain point, but then there's a point where they just cannot. Of course, these are Vedic Brahmins. We are trying to be a little bit different Brahmins, tolerate to the maximum, beyond. So, his mother, Sunita, being so attached, generally mothers are attached to children no matter how bad they are, he preserved his body through oil and mantras. But then, you know, the miscreants, the dacoits, they were ruling, they were, you know, looting and creating so much havoc that the Brahmins, they had to come together and decide what to do. You know. And so they decided to churn the body of King Vena from his thighs. Bahudakins, like the sins of all of King Vena's sins, all of King Vena's sins comes manifest. He was quieted. And then turning his arm, then Prithu came. And Prithu becomes the reward. So in the beginning it was all these types of adversities. But the end, it's the reward. Prithu, by his great saintly qualities, it's like incarnation of the Lord himself. What's his wife's name? Surudja? Arjji. Also came in presence. And so for all of Maharaj Angad's devotion, the rewards is there. So as devotees, we may go through many things that may happen to us, even to the best of our devotional activities. Some of it may be bewildering, you know, even though we may be advanced in knowledge of the scriptures. Still, there are those moments that we may lose sight of our goal. And even in these circumstances and situation, a devotee, they're always introspective. They're always reflective. We have to be in that mood. We have to be in that mood of being introspective of every moment. And we have to make decisions of every moment in our life. We allow the mind to take over, then it takes shelter under Maya. If we use our intelligence and we're in focus, then we can quickly take shelter of the Supreme Lord. In this way, we can be spared of the many atrocities that confronts us in this human form of life. Spared in the sense that we are able to have the intelligence to overcome all the many adversities and obstacles that may present itself before us. So here, Sukadeva Goswami, he is given a sort of a metaphorical presentation on the autumn and rainy season. Earlier on, he described the life of Narad Muni. And it's also during the rainy and autumn season that Narad Muni had the opportunity to serve great saintly personalities. So we're trying to mesh something of the autumn and rainy season. He was also in a very precarious situation. His mother died, being bitten by a snake. He was left at the mercy of the Lord. It can be very difficult circumstances for some of us sometimes. Devotees, as devotees, we know what we can do and what ought to be done. The gross materialist can be such frustration for them. No matter what education they have, no matter what circumstance and situation they may have in society, our influences amongst friends and family members, but they can come to a point of being so frustrated they may even commit suicide. But there's always hopes for the devotees. Narad Muni, he happened by great fortune to serve the Bhaktivedantas. And he heard from them, because saintly persons, they always discuss about the glories of the Supreme Lord. They are not in isolation. They are not, in Mauna. They always speak about the Lord. So Narad Muni, he was hearing. He was also taking remnants of their food. When Narad Muni was explaining to Srila Vyasadeva about his life, and as was related by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, so by the serving of those pure great souls, the Bhaktivedantas, Narad was able to become such a great saintly personality, the great celestial sage that could travel everywhere, both in the spiritual world and the material world, glorifying the Supreme Lord and His Veena. What's our position? Do we have the same circumstance like Narad Muni. Yes, we do. Of course, we can read from all these scriptures by the grace of another Bhaktivedanta, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He has left a legacy. Within our lifetime, we cannot exhaust all the writings he has given to us through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many other Vedic supplementary literatures, his conversations, his letters. The Veda base is full of all his wonderful teachings. So we also have that opportunity to another Bhaktivedanta. And we can be sure enough that if we do follow with that resolute purpose and determination, there must be a purpose in what we are doing. Cannot be too sentimental. We cannot be too complacent. We have to be focused on what we want to achieve. And obviously the scriptures provide us so much information to begin with to understand what should be our goal. And what should be that focus. And so the rest of our life, once we are properly enlightened and informed, is to keep ourselves directed, focused to achieve that goal. Developing love for the Supreme. We are far away from that. At the moment, Krishna may reciprocate to give us some inkling of that love so that we can be encouraged to go on. There may be a period of time in our lives that we may be very happy and delighted and jubilant and feeling so grateful and so happy in Krishna consciousness. But there are times that we will also be tested. We may not have that same feeling. We may be somewhat morose, disturbed, bewildered. But all these manifestations that comes in our being, we have to know what to do. Some things that happen in our lives is because of our past karma. Some things that happen in our life is orchestrated by the Supreme Lord Himself. Some, of course, may be through our own many shortcomings and negligence. But all through our lives, we have to see, we have to be in focus how to relate with it. And so, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada have given us a program how we can keep our consciousness to that level that we can always click in these moments of bewilderment to know what to do. It means we have to stay in the association of devotees. We have to also constantly beg and pray to the Lord. Of course, He will make it possible for devotees to reciprocate. So day by day, moment by moment, we have to pray to the Lord to please guide me, show me what to do, what not to do. Of course, He's in the heart of everyone and He knows what's going on in everyone's heart. He reciprocates. He even reciprocates even when we are not so pure in heart. When we're still pretty much under the influence of ignorance and passion. That merciful is the Supreme. And the devotees, who is His manifestation, they also duplicate that same kind reciprocation. out of compassion to help us as fallen conditioned souls. And so, in our pursuit of devotional life, devotional advancement, we have to take all circumstances, all situation in a positive way. We may feel morose at those times when things doesn't go our way, but still we have to take it in a positive way. And you can be guaranteed, you can be assured that that reciprocation will be there to quickly overcome such moroseness. And finally we can feel very much satisfied in our heart. But another time again we'll be tested. It'll go on until we are completely perfect in our consciousness. Everything becomes spontaneous after then. This is a far way to go. Now we have to abide by the many rules and regulations. And from Vaidhi Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti. It's in the philosophy, but in reality, we have to keep our faith that yes, one day it will come. We've seen it in the lives of others. It has manifest. That spontaneity of devotional service to the Supreme. So we're not operating in a vacuum. We are doing everything we can do and we should do by proper understanding. So, I was passing by, Gauranga Prabhu was speaking to some of his senior devotees. And I was just trying, you know, some words were coming through. Sometimes when you eavesdrop, you don't really hear the right thing. But I hope I heard the right thing. He spoke about 3L. Says we have to learn, we have to live by example, something like that, and we have to leave a legacy. Yeah. We may not portray the same magnitude and disposition like the sages and saints of the past, but certainly within our own way, within our own little insignificant position, Krishna can acknowledge whatever endeavor we make and our endeavor to please Him to the best we can. He will see it in the same light as those sages and saints of the past. He understands this is Kali Yuga. And he acknowledges our every effort in trying to become His devotees. He sees our every struggles. He witnesses everything that transpires in our consciousness. He knows everything we are thinking and doing. Nothing is unknown to Him or unseen by Him. So I'm very much gratified. I am most heartened to see all the devotees here in Chaupati. I'm most impressed here, and also in Pune. These are two places that has fascinated me in the devotional sentiments of devotees. Our coming here is to learn from you. Unfortunately, I'm put in this position to say something, to give something. But our real purpose here is to learn from all of you to hear from all of you, to be inspired by all of you, so that in our own lives we can, however insignificant, we can do something meaningful in the service of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're fortunate to have another Bhaktivedanta with us. And so let's take advantage of that and fulfill the real purpose of our life. Try to see everything through the eyes of the Shastra. Try to see everything in relationship to the Supreme, as Sukadeva Goswami is presenting it to Maharaj Pariksit and to all of us. Thank you very much. At this point in time, I would like to take this opportunity, because I would not have such opportunity again, to thank the administration, the management of Shishirada Gopinath Chaupati. There are many persons who have made our presence here most delighted, most enlightening, most productive, rewarding. And especially I would like to thank Gauranga Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu. They have been very instrumental, Baldev Prabhu, in ensuring that all went very nicely in all that we had to do in our engagement here. Nirshamananda Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Nityanand Charan Prabhu, Bhaja Bihari Prabhu, Gaura Gopal Prabhu, Anand Gopal Prabhu, Nand Gopal Prabhu, Akincha Krishna Prabhu, Braj Mohan Prabhu, Damodar Prabhu, Radhika Vallabha Prabhu, Revati Vallabha Prabhu, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu from Pune. Also had the great fortune of seeing my wonderful personality, Radhisham Prabhu. I've always been very impressed with his simplicity, with his disposition. Despite the fact that he is so busy with so many things, and this is no flattery, still, whenever he speaks with you, you feel that he has nothing else in this whole world but just you. I'm very happy and heartening by his kind reciprocation. All the many devotees here, I may not remember your names, but I'm very, very heartening, very gratified by your kind reciprocation, by your saintly disposition. And obviously we are trying to have the authorities here to send some of you to help us in Guyana with our preaching. We want to create the same kind of environment that is created here. People are simple-minded. They're receptive. But the environment is not really healthy, especially even amongst the devotees. So we felt with your input there, you know, we can be able to make a revolution in the Krishna consciousness process amongst the lot. So still that's in the hands of the Lord, how much reciprocation will there be, but we are always inviting devotees to come and help us. We don't find ourselves to be any kind of role models or any kind of persons that can inspire others so much. I've seen how well you have done it here, and I'm sure you know that you can do it there in Guyana as well if you have the opportunity to come there. So again, thank you all of so much. And I pray that you'll give me your blessings. Forgive me for any way I may have knowingly or unknowingly committing offenses against you, or say anything that may not be so appropriate. I humbly beg at your lotus feet that you kindly allow me to engage for the rest of my life in the service of Krishna and all of you, all the devotees of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So on behalf of ISKCON Jhabwadi Temple here, we'd like to thank His Grace Haridas Prabhu. Haridas Prabhu is a very senior devotee. Actually, since 1977, he is in touch with our movement. He's an initiate disciple of His Holiness Satsvarupa Das Goswami. And he is the one who wanted the devotees from Guyana to come here. And it is very difficult for them to come here, taking into consideration the time and the finance involved. But they still came here and they stayed for 1 month of their time. And wonderfully they were able to gel with all of us, and by the simplicity they taught us so many things. So today they are leaving back to their own country. They will go to Vrindavan, from there they will fly back to Guyana. So let us take this opportunity and thank Haridas Prabhu and all his devotees who have come from Guyana by 3 times loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hare Krishna.